The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Welcome to the annual Christmas issue of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina for December 2023. Themes this month are Taste of Tradition, the fruit cake that reigns supreme, and other holiday foods we savor, church peanuts in Mount Olive, relish trays in Raleigh, sugar plums in Silva, and the 12 days of Christmas reimagined. We'll see how many of those we can cover for you, but first we're going to start, as we always do, with the From Elizabeth column, Retracing My Steps. Of all the things I'd revisit if I could slip back in time, I'd take one more walk up the staircase at our old house, the one with steps made from solid red oak and spindles that my mother kept oiled and polished. The one that I bounded up two steps at a time to answer the phone in my bedroom before my parents picked it up downstairs. The one I trudged down in the morning before school. The smell of my dad's coffee, always Maxwell House, filling the kitchen. I've sat on the top step of the staircase and pushed off, bumping along, imagining my own indoor luge, like I saw during the Winter Olympics, popping up and adding a twirl at the bottom of the stairs like Dorothy Hamill. I've swung my legs over the banister to propel myself down like the children in Mary Poppins. By the time I was in high school and our house began to settle into its age, I'd learned exactly which steps creaked and groaned. On nights when I missed my curfew, I slipped off my shoes, always kids, and crept up the stairs in my socks without turning on any lights, careful to avoid the noisiest spots, certain that my parents would never know I'd come home late. They always knew. I remember navigating those stairs the night of my senior prom, steadying myself in satin heels, my crinoline underneath my Jessica McClintock dress brushing the wall. I remember my mom and dad waiting at the landing for me to appear, beaming as if I were the most beautiful girl they'd ever seen, and making me feel as if that were true. I marched down those stairs with a graduation gown on, and loped down them again, lugging duffel bags packed for college. I climbed them slowly on the day my parents moved from the house, touching the nail hole on the wall where their wedding sampler, stitched by my grandmother, had been taken down. This time of year, when I see houses softly lit with candles in the windows, always the way we did it, too, and trees twinkling with ornaments, I have another memory from childhood, one from the first year in our house when I was 7 years old. I was awakened on Christmas Eve by a clack, clack, clacking coming from downstairs, and whether it was reindeer hooves or elves pattering across the floor, I didn't know. But I crawled out of bed, made my way silently down those stairs, and tiptoed to the edge of the den, where I saw my dad sitting cross-legged on the floor, a candy apple red Petite Elite typewriter before him. A sheet of paper was rolled under the platen, and for a few seconds I watched my dad peck at the keys and nibble on the Oreo cookie from the plate I'd left beneath the tree. Just as the realization of what I was seeing became clear, my dad turned, smutted me, and in one smooth, swift motion, jumped up and scooped me into his arms and carried me back upstairs. "Let's get you back to bed," he whispered with a smile, and I squeezed my eyes shut, neither of us quite ready for explanations for the march of time. We still had Christmas morning ahead of us when, like always, I'd run down the stairs before the sun came up to see what surprises awaited, what moments would become the memories I'd carry forever. And now, as I do on the first reading of each month, I would like to interpret the photos in the photo essay for you. This month, it's entitled Best in Glass. The first page, well, I'll read the caption first. It says, "Multicolored masterpieces and crystal clear creations let the light shine through in beautiful ways," written by Rebecca Woltz. Many glass artists get their start creating ornaments at the North Carolina Glass Center in Asheville. Across the state, in Raleigh, the Sun of Righteousness is depicted on a stained glass window in St. Michael's Episcopal Church. So on the left-hand page, there are some Christmas ornaments, presumably in blown glass, and on the right-hand side is that glass window. It has a starburst. The center of the starburst is white with black lead between the pieces of glass that are regularly shaped. Then there's a double circle, and around the edge of the circle there are the starbursts. Each one is triangular in shape, tall and narrow. It has a darkened left and right side and a strip down the middle, so each is made of two pieces of glass. One yellow, one, I guess you'd have to call it light yellow in most cases, almost white, and then some of them are actually a darker yellow where they happen to overlap a different color that is panning out behind this sunburst. Overleaf now, the North Carolina Glass Center in Asheville. "Watching glass get blown is mesmerizing," says Candace Riley, executive director of the North Carolina Glass Center, an incubator for emerging glass artists in Asheville's River Arts District. "It's a rare thing to see the process of dipping hot glass into fire and bringing it out and molding it. When the process is complete, blown glasswork such as patterned vases and cups are ready for display in the center's gallery." They're on Roberts Street in Asheville, and their website is ncglasscenter.org. And there's a couple of gentlemen here standing side by side. They both have beards. One has a cap and glasses on. He's holding a very colorful bowl. Looks like it's about 4 or 5 inches deep, and all sorts of circular patterns, primarily of blue and white. And to the left of that, there are some vases, and the sides of them are multicolored. They're going from rose at the bottom to yellow at the top in one case, and blue at the top, and purple perhaps at the bottom in the other case. And those two glasses are what I would call crinkly. You know, you can't see through them. You kind of see a pattern around them. And then there's one in the center, which is smooth, and it's more rose in color. On the right-hand side, we see the entrance to the shop. It looks like it might have been an old garage or something, and the garage door is now raised because people are just walking in over a little bump there. and stepping into the shop where everything is displayed on platforms. And there's quite a few people inside and more outside that are ready to walk in. The outside of the building is brick, but it has been painted. There is a big flower display on the right-hand side with blue blossoms and red leaves. And the caption says, with shared studios, educational opportunities, and a gallery, the North Carolina Glass Center serves more than 70 glass artists like Christian Hessler and assistant Oliver Morgan, who we saw pictured on the left side. One of them is holding the glass bowl. And now the Glass Chapel in Rutherfordton. Built by Episcopalian priest Father Fulton Hodge in 2000, the Glass Chapel, located on a colonial-era farm in Rutherfordton, was purchased and renovated by husband and wife Steve and Laura Duncan in 2021. Used for community events, the chapel features glass walls that frame the forest just beyond the panes. When you walk into the chapel, Laura says, there's this immediate feeling of peacefulness that comes from feeling like you are in nature. The picture of the glass chapel certainly is an unusual building because the two side walls are essentially all glass. There's framework holding the windows, but they are from about 3 feet off the ground to the ridgeline where the roof begins and slopes upward. Not solid glass, but pieces of glass between the framework. The front is also glass, although it has a little more clapboard wood on it, and there's a rounded piece of glass over the top of the front door, and woods beyond, and a very nicely manicured lawn, and you can walk around and sit on a bench on the outside of the chapel. Their website is thepreservemaplecreek.com/chapels. On the right-hand side is a picture. I'll read the caption first. Each year at the community Christmas event held in the Glass Chapel, holiday songs are played on an 1881 Steinway & Sons piano. The evening ends with candlelight and attendees singing Silent Night. So here we are in the evening, because it's dark outside when you look through the windows. There is a big Christmas tree, tall and narrow, on the left-hand side in front of the front pew, and it is reflected not in one, but in two windows, is the way we're looking at it. And there are beautiful candle displays floating in water in tall cylindrical glass. I don't know what you'd call them, tall pieces of cylindrical glass of three different heights, as if it were a triple height candle right at the end of each one of the pews. Overleaf, we have Star Works in Star. Visitors to Star Works, which aims to improve access to the arts in rural Montgomery County, can watch glass, ceramics, and metalwork artists in action. At Wright, former resident artist Jennifer Crescuto creates a unicorn horn by twisting molten glass. Sculptures, ornaments, decor, and other delicate pieces by Star Works artists are displayed in the on-site gallery. They're on Russell Drive in Star, North Carolina, and I must admit, I've never heard of Star, North Carolina before. And they have a website, starworksnc.org. So here is Jennifer. She is holding a pair, well, she's actually, I think what she's doing is holding a metal device, which is something like a clamp, in one hand, and she's holding what looks to be a long, narrow cutting board, but it's not a cutting board. It's being used to shape the glass against the where it's being held in the metal. And interestingly, she is not wearing an apron to protect her body, and she is not wearing any gloves to protect her hands. And we can tell from the color of it, this twirly piece of glass that she's working with is very, very hot. And on the right-hand side, there's a close-up of the top of what is perhaps a glass ornament. You can't really tell. There's a whole bunch of them in a row. Not sure what they are. Now, back to Raleigh. As soon as I saw the picture, I knew exactly where it was taken. Vidrio in Raleigh. When diners walk into Vidrio in downtown Raleigh, a restaurant whose name means glass in Spanish, their eyes are immediately drawn to a two-story wall of glass plates. The more than 700 unique plates were hand-blown by artist Doug Freites in a variety of shapes, sizes, and patterns. Each one catches the light and sparkles, brightening the dining room as families and friends share meals beneath them. They're at 500 Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh, vidrioraleigh.com. There's an expression written in script in large letters on the bottom. I don't remember exactly what it says. The words we see are "for the time being." And right above them starts this array of glass plates. None of them are flat. They're all flaring out a little bit tortoise. They're in all different colors. Some of them are a little bit different shape. They're not necessarily perfectly round. Some are an oblong shape. Some are dark. Some are very light. And some have little extensions on them, almost like petals on a flower coming out along the end. The second page here is a close-up of the glass. The way it's taken, it looks as if they've taken it on top of a table, but they're really photographing sideways up the wall, showing all the different shapes and colors and swirls. Just beautiful. And now, the Penland School of Craft in Bakersville. Glass is a material full of potential, says Nick Fruin, glass studio coordinator at Penland School of Craft, which offers workshops and residencies in crafts, including glassmaking. There are so many different ways to use it and to make an object and express an idea. It has transparency, it has opacity, it's fragile, it's strong, it's hot. It overwhelms the senses while you're working with it. They're on Conley Ridge Road in Bakersville, and their website is penland.org. A caption here in two photos, located in rural Mitchell County, Penland School of Craft features a gallery and visitor center, a supply store, a coffee shop, and artist studios that are open to the public. So we are taking a long shot along nicely manicured lawns here. And then there's a wall and a little hill, and then there's quite a large building that they were talking about, and you can see what I assume are the studios located behind the visitor center, and a close-up here of some amber-colored glass. Overleaf, there's a couple of more photos. The caption says, Penland's glass studio coordinator, Nick Fruin, heats glass to 2,225 degrees before shaping it with jacks. Now, the jacks look like a giant pair of tweezers. Trust me, they're not. Don't bring his fingers close to that 2,000-degree glass. It's a rather large pair of tweezers, and the glass itself is on the end of a pole, and he blows through the other end of the pole, and it puffs the glass out, and then he rolls it with his hand. He rolls his hand on the long pole that he blew in, set between two pieces of wood, and just over the edge of the wood, he uses the jack to squeeze the glass into whatever shape he wants. And then there's a picture of him reinserting the glass into the blazing hot furnace. The Cathedral of All Souls in Asheville. Beginning in 1898, glass artist D. Maitland Armstrong and his daughter Helen, a children's book illustrator, created opalescent glass windows for the Cathedral of All Souls in Baltimore Village. George Vanderbilt commissioned the windows as memorials over the course of 16 years until his death in 1914, leaving three remaining windows with clear glass. For the cathedral's centennial celebration in 1996, the final three windows were commissioned and created, matching the Armstrong windows in style. They are at 9 Swan Street in Asheville, AllSoulsCathedral.org. Caption: The Cathedral of All Souls is home to the world's largest collection of Armstrong opalescent art glass. Now here's a close-up of one. Sometimes these are a little hard to describe. It is rectangular in shape, and it has like a frame, but it's actually just the colored glass formed into what looks like a frame, and then as if there were a poster in the middle of the frame, or the center of the frame, rather. And it, of course, is more cut glass. The top has a little banner in glass which says, "Which temple ye are." The bottom has some words, again on the glass, "In memoriam, Edward Lawrence Holmes," and then there's a born and died date in there. And then we see the outside of the cathedral, which is all red brick with very steep roofs. And then there are three of the pieces of glass. They have religious figures on them, and they're all standing outside. We see sky behind them in two of the cases, and it's kind of a like a temple at the top of the hill behind the first one. And we have what perhaps look is supposed to represent angels looking down from the sky on other figures, another adult figure with three children. And there are two men in the last one in what I would call Roman togas, I guess. And there's some words down at the bottom, "In memoriam for somebody or other." And they seem to be inside, perhaps, one of those temples. Now we have "Searching for Sea Glass." Off our coast, shards of glass, often from shipwrecks that occurred decades or centuries ago, are churned by the ocean, their edges smoothed by the currents and the surf, their composition chemically changed by caustic waters. Collectors of these gifts from the sea scour the shore looking for brightly colored pieces whose surfaces are touched with a frosted finish. Caption says, "In the Outer Banks, the best times to find sea glass are often after a storm or during the off-season when fewer people are walking the beach." What we see here is a close-up of sand and one of these pieces of purple glass in a triangular shape lying on the sand. And out of focus in the background is a man and a dog. And then on the right-hand side, there's a close-up of three of these pieces of glass. They are well-worn by the sea. Who knows what they were when they started out to be. These are all triangular in shape now. One is purple, one is green, and one is reddish in color. Overleaf, St. Michael's Episcopal Church in Raleigh. Envisioned by parishioner Harriet Hill and designed by Raleigh artist Pat Stumpf, the windows of St. Michael's Episcopal Church tell the story of the liturgical year, beginning with Advent and ending with a feast of Christ the King. Light filters through symbols honoring Jesus, who called himself the light of the world. They're located on Canterbury Road in Raleigh, holymichael.org. Photo is the inside of the church, shot across the pews. There is an Episcopal priest walking up from the rear. The picture is taken with a long exposure, so he's slightly out of focus because his image is jarred as it was photographed with a slow shutter. But the windows behind him, or to his right, are very clear. They are mainly blue colors, blue and light blue and perhaps some purple. And they show vines, and not really sure what some of these things are. Here's something that looks like a backwards letter S and the letter R, and then there's I-N-R-I on another one, and a bridge, or rather an archway made out of stone and green plants in front. And this one has something that looks like a bell sitting on rocks with a bird on the branch in the bottom. So they're all quite different. And now, Hot Glass Alley in Charlotte. After surviving a rare childhood cancer with a terminal diagnosis, Jake Pfeiffer decided never to take life for granted. As the owner and lead artist of Hot Glass Alley, he's applied that point of view to glasswork, putting everything he has into his art. Pfeiffer looked at seven cities in the East Coast before deciding that Charlotte, with its museums, art schools, and population of glass artists, was the perfect place to open his studio and gallery. There on Atondo Avenue in Charlotte, hotglassalley.com. This is a close-up picture of a piece of blown glass on the end of the stick that it was blown from. It is reddish in color, and it is being shaped with something held in a very heavily gloved hand by the artist. I don't know what the material is that he shapes it with, but it's between him and a very heavy glove making a rounded surface. It says, Hot Glass Alley owner Jake Pfeiffer makes patterns on glassworks by melting cane, colored rods of glass, onto larger pieces. So here's a bowl, which is made of, it's very evenly striped, diagonally striped triangles as they come out with the two diagonals of purple. And down at the bottom is a yellow and green random shaped piece, and here's one of the artists as he carries a hot piece of glass along the floor. And finally, Looking Glass Rock in Pisgah Forest. In Pisgah National Forest, the frigid waters of Looking Glass Falls cascade 60 feet into a pool below. The waterfall takes its name from Looking Glass Rock, just a few miles away. The 3,969-foot mountain is so named because when its sheer face is frozen over, it reflects the sun like a mirror. Seen from the Blue Ridge Parkway on a cold day, light plays upon the surface, glistening on ice that is crystal clear. Pictures show a waterfall, very icy at the edge, and a long shot of the mountain ridge and its snow peaks. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.